Welcome back to another episode of Masked Monologues. Today, I am so excited to be joined by an intriguing, successful guest, Andrew Freed. Can you tell us a bit about what you do and how you got started?
Absolutely. So I am a real estate investor. As of today, I own about 150 multifamily rental units. I have 80 more under contract. And my journey into real estate really started with my journey in self-development and financial literacy and financial independence. I'm happy to get into that story further, but that really kickstarted my path into kind of real estate.
Yes. And I noticed on another podcast, you were talking about reading Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You were talking about video gaming and just developing this growth and success mindset. Can you tell me how that started for you? What was the first motivation to even branch out of your norm and read a business-related book?
So it's funny because a lot of kids dream of being astronauts or firefighters, police officers. And I remember back in the day when I was 4 or 5, and my parents asked me, what did I want to be when I grew up? And I told them I wanted to be rich. And I just knew that, like, my last name's Freed, and I just knew money allowed me the ability to control my time. It wasn't money thing. It was more like I wanted control of my time. And I really knew that at a intrinsic level really young. However, what I was blinded by the expectations of everybody else in my life. So my family is very much middle class. Go get a good education. Go get a good job. Go get a nice swanky condo in a city and retire in 30 more years. That's the ideology that they taught us. Mm-hmm. So I very much prescribed to that growing up. I went to a good school, master's. I got jobs at prestigious institutions. I got a nice swanky condo in Boston. I essentially made it after everything was said and done. But after I came home from my nice swanky job, I had a really big sense of kind of just being empty, right? I really felt like I wasn't really pursuing my dreams, but I was really pursuing somebody else's dreams.
Yes.
And that resulted in me escaping into vices, escaping into video games, escaping into hanging with my buddies, drinking beers, watching sports, essentially anything I could do to take my mind off of going after my dreams.
Yes.
And when I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad in my 30s, it opened my eyes to the fact that I was really living in fear and at a real age.
Yes. No, I feel as though a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of creatives out there can be stuck in the mind frame that other people have of them. So the perceptions that other people might want for them. Go be a lawyer, go be a doctor, go do the safe, follow the path with less risk and is going to benefit you in the end, or they believe it's going to benefit you in the end. Can you give me some pieces of advice for entrepreneurs out there who might be hesitant to start a business, hesitant to pursue their dreams, and how can they change their mindset, their mentality, and enable themselves? How can they be enabled to follow those dreams?
Oh, I honestly think the generic path of seeking the American dream, actually the unsafest, very much choosing a 30 to 40 year time horizon, putting your money aside, hoping that these mechanisms that these financial advisors advise you to go with, 401ks, put all your money in your primary residence, those are not what create financial independence and financial wealth. Mm-hmm. Those are what drive you further into having to keep that job. Right? To getting an expensive single family mortgage over your head, to put all of your savings in this mechanism that you cannot access until you're 5 or 70 in a lot of different scenarios, right? Mm-hmm. So structures created to keep people in that conveyor belt, in that grind, in that 30 to 40 year time horizon towards financial independence, right? So that's what they're told. My mind really shifted when I came to the realization that I could take all my net worth, go for my dreams. I might go bankrupt. But at the end of the day, I'm 30 freaking years old, right? At that point, I have a 30 to 40 year time horizon to pick up the starter over again. And what scared me more, rather than taking the dive and failing, was to work for 30, 40 more years. I was already in the workforce, and I could not imagine doing it for another 30 to 40 year time horizon. And that's what really woke me up to going after financial independence and my dreams.
Yes. I'm wondering how you went about acquiring all this financial knowledge. Did you start reading a lot of books? Did you have a mentor? And how can beginner entrepreneurs, novices gain this information and apply it?
Really good question. So the way I really learned all of the tactics was I took self-development to an entirely new level where I really committed a good 2 to 3 hours of self-education every single day. And over a three-year time period, all that knowledge compounds. Just how your wealth compounds, compound interest is relatable to many aspects of your life, especially college. And what I used to compound this interest was reading many financial literacy books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or Dale Carnegie, How to Make Friends and Influence People.
Yes.
You know, or Stephen Covey's.
And I'm wondering why you chose real estate, because obviously there's a lot of businesses that you can start up. I'm assuming that real estate seems to be more of a safer option because people are always going to need a place to live. People are always going to need houses. So can you tell me how you got into real estate?
Absolutely. I was purely trial and error. At that point, come around when I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and there was a lot of hints in that book that real estate is the means to wealth. I looked at my net worth, and my net worth at that point, back during COVID, was $250,000, $200,000 of which was in this one-bedroom condo I bought 5 years ago that I completely forgot about.
Yes.
It literally took me 10 years to save up $50,000. And after that, I was like, I'm not going to reach financial independence by savings, but only by investing. Mm-hmm. And this real estate thing, it literally produced 80% of my net worth. Maybe there's some. This real estate thing. And that's when I decided to go all in. And I got a HELOC, a home line of credit on my one bedroom condo in Boston for $200,000. Mm-hmm. And I started buying multifamily in Worcester, Massachusetts. I started house hacking, owner occupying multi with a low down payment, 3 to 5% down payment. I've been really leveraging that line of credit, that HELOC, to really expand my real estate portfolio.
Yes. And I'm wondering, can you share some challenges with real estate investing? Because I have some friends, know some people who do real estate investing as well. And sometimes even with renting, it can be a challenge dealing with tenants. And I'm just wondering what challenges you faced when building your real estate investment portfolio.
So real estate is surely a people business. To be successful in real estate, you have to have a high level of emotional intelligence, right? And you really have to aim to create win scenarios. I'm in Massachusetts. That's a very tenant friendly state, meaning that all the laws are skewed towards tenants, right? Mm-hmm. You take a very combative approach towards tenants in a tenant friendly state, that results in a lot more evictions, a lot more months of vacancy, a lot more. But when you take a more collaborative approach, trying to create win for people, offering them to leave early and things like that, that allows you to really excel your portfolio and really grow it. I would just warn people, real estate is very much a people business, and your success in real estate is directly correlated to how much people like and trust and want to work with you. And you should always have that in the back of your mind when dealing with tenants, dealing with sellers, dealing with dealing with vendors in the real estate industry, and on any industry in general, to be frank.
Yes, on the topic of people skills, communication skills, I've noticed that you were a project manager. Can you expand on some skills, soft skills people should have when dealing with other people and just creating those win situations?
Well, to be a good project manager, you have to be extremely good at pestering people without being annoyed. All in the follow-up game, right? Uh-huh. A lot of times when you're reaching out to people and following up with people, you really want to position it first from a friendly manner. You know, thank them for their time and position you're helping them rather than you're helping you. And it's very important to explain why you need this information, right? Because if you just ask somebody for something, you don't really explain the rationale on why. It's not really urgent. It doesn't really provide context on why this is needed at this very moment. But when you provide on why you want that information and why it helps everybody get this thing to the finish line, that really perpetuates kind of quick resolutions. So that's probably number one, right? Number two is keeping people accountable, right? That's extremely powerful in project management, as well as being able to break down a large project into small bite-sized pieces, right? And then distributing, delegating that among a whole bunch of people, and then placing one point man or point woman, a responsibility to make sure that project is coming to fruition.
Yes. And as an entrepreneur, you obviously need to keep others accountable. But on the other hand, you need to keep yourself accountable as well. Can you tell me how you were able to keep yourself accountable when starting up all these real estate investments, where you were dealing with tenants, where you had to show up at houses, view properties? Can you tell me how you were able to create a schedule, delegate time for certain activities, how you organized your time, essentially?
Great question. A book that had a ton of influence on my ability to control my time and really put in the best dollar per hour task was Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And in there, he talked about the time matrix. And he has like a graph. And on the top two quadrants, quadrant one is urgent and important. Quadrant two is not urgent and important. Quadrant three is not important, not urgent. And quadrant four is urgent, not important. So the real key to being successful and utilizing the highest dollar per hour tasks is utilizing as much time as possible in quadrant one, urgent and important. And in quadrant two, important and not urgent. And the entire goal, in my opinion, of entrepreneurship and business is to create systems to get you of the urgent and important tasks and get you into the important and not urgent tasks. It's more of the concept of working on your business versus working in your business. So I was really good at figuring that out and leveraging software or virtual assistants or other people to delegate and eliminate and really focus on the entrepreneurship, we call it the key performance indicator, the real big indicator that get you closer towards your goals.
And I believe you speak about why 92% of people will never become millionaires. And we briefly touched on this when we were talking about how you have to follow the path that others impose on you, and most people will comply to that route. And I'm just wondering why you believe that 92% of people will never become millionaires.
I personally think anybody has the capacity and the ability to become a millionaire. I personally think a lot of people, at the end of the day, a lot of people live their life in fear. They go to a job that they hate. They go to events that they despise because they need the money to live the life that they need to live. A lot of people don't realize how much of their lives are controlled by money. Once you realize that and you realize those fears and you realize what fears are holding you back, your inner demon, once you get over that, you really build the confidence to be an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurship is a risky endeavor. And the only way you got to be successful is if you're confident in your ability to resolve any issue that comes your way. And with confidence comes the ability to remove fear. So a lot of that's inward work that I see a lot of entrepreneurs go through before they're willing to take the leap.
Yes. And I'm wondering, how would you acquire confidence? How do you gain confidence? And how do you know that you have the skills, the mindset to be successful in your business before you start it? And I believe that the majority of the time, you don't. You just have to start and then see where you're going and then make small adjustments so that you become successful. But for someone who might have low self-esteem, low confidence, how do you even get to the point where you think, you know what, maybe I can do this?
Yeah, to your point, the real successful entrepreneurs, as you mentioned, skew towards action and iterate along the way. That's really the path towards success. Regarding what you build confidence, a lot of that is in self-education. You're putting in 2,000-4,000 hours of education in a specific topic. That confidence built.
Yes.
A really good tactic for building confidence is finding a mentor, finding somebody who is where you want to be 5-10 years. And in my specific scenario, I found somebody who owned hundreds and hundreds of rental units. And I wanted to be where they were going to be at in a couple of years. And what did I do? I surrounded myself around them. I aimed to provide them value as much as I could. And as a result, they really took me under their wing. And when I did cross those moments of uncertainty or those moments of fear, I had really somebody to bounce it off of who's been there before, who can really provide advice and kind of guide me along the way and hold my hand along the way. So those are some good tactics I would recommend and over lack of confidence.
And for someone who might not have a family member who's maybe in the business that they want to be in, maybe they don't know of any friends, how would you go about getting a mentor? Are there certain business events that you can attend? How did you find someone who already owned multiple in your real estate properties and go to them and just ask them about what they were doing and how they got started?
So in my particular industry, there's a ton of real estate focused. So these meetups, you can really meet players who are making it happen and doing what you want to do at a large scale. You questioned how can you get somebody like that to help you? It's easy. You really have to go out of your way to provide value to them and expect nothing in return. And the way you do that is really find their pain points. So with my particular mentor, he hosted meetups, real estate meetups all over Massachusetts. And during one virtual meetup where there were 40 people in attendance, he was like, I'm trying to start a meetup in Worcester, Massachusetts, which was my market. And he's, anybody knows of any good venues, let me know. So that weekend, I took the initiative to go to about 5 or 6 different places, get the manager's information, take business cards, get pricing, put it in a sexy Google Drive, send it to him. And he's, wow, I've been asking for this for 8 months. Nobody, do you want to be our first guest speaker? And then from there, that spurred into me actually hosting the meetup. And then I wanted to provide him more value. He was a real estate broker, right? So I actually became a real estate agent and provided him value in the form of real estate commissions, bringing him commissions, right? Point, when you bring somebody a certain amount of value nonstop, the idea of reciprocity really kicks in. They feel a need to help you out. After I brought up tens of thousands of dollars in value and I ran this issue, called him real quick. Obviously, he's got to spend 5-10 minutes helping me out. Wouldn't you? It makes absolute sense.
Yes.
The key really is to find somebody, making it happen, figure out their pain points, provide immense value, expect nothing in return, and sooner or later, the idea of reciprocity will kick in.
Yes. And I'm wondering for entrepreneurs out there, how do you stay motivated? Because I've known some entrepreneurs out there who might have started a business and they've done it for maybe 4 months, maybe 6 months. And then they realize, oh, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. Or they just, life gets in the way, something happens and they just shut the business down, work on something else. And then it turns into 6 or 7, 8 failed businesses because they weren't able to commit. How would you stay motivated when you don't see results?
So the riches are created in consistency. Right. And if you do something day in and day out for years and years, success will hit. And I think that's the biggest mistake I see from wannabe entrepreneurs is getting the object syndrome, right? Like choosing a strategy, not committing enough time or effort to it and changing path before it really takes momentum. Yeah. Just like I think we alluded to this earlier, the idea of compound interest in regards to knowledge, in regards to, but it's also in regards to momentum. Right? The more momentum you build in any given business, that, you know, it propels you over time. So if you're on a train track and you're literally hitting up to 20 miles an hour and you're about to start hit that stride, you're like, oh, I quit, going on to the next endeavor. You didn't even finish building that bridge. Like the myth of building a bridge before you move on to another bridge.
And I just want to go back and touch on your process of self-development. And you say that each day you took about 2 hours to learn, acquire knowledge, and just become better at your craft in your industry. And can you tell us about how you would go about structuring that time? Is it 2 hours a day, would you recommend? Or maybe would you say delegate about 5 hours a week? Maybe it's a month. How would someone structure this time in order to get the optimal results?
So I utilize the strategy called the Miracle Morning, which is made famous by Hal Elrod. And it's a morning routine. More or less, they took the 6 most influential tactics that the uber successful people do, and they put it in a morning routine. They base it off of the acronym SABRES. S for silence or meditation, A for affirmations, B for visualization, E for exercise, R for reading, S for scribing or journaling. So every single morning, I take time to do that morning routine, right? I meditate for 10-15 minutes. I do my affirmations and my visualization in the shower. I exercise. I do my push-ups. I do my yoga. I make sure to read at least 10 to 15 pages every single day because that's more or less working out for the mind. And then it's incredibly important because that's what first of all, it's internal, right? So you're definitely going to want to write a couple things you're grateful for. Gratitude is the hidden gem for enjoying life. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you got to want to go over what's your 10-year, 5-year, 1-year goal. Mm-hmm. And like, goals can you do today to mm-hmm. get you to those goals? And if you do that every single day, success will hit. And I'm all about consistency. So I would not recommend you dedicate 5 hours and do it throughout the week. I would recommend mm-hmm. you have a routine every single day that you get you closer towards your goals.
Yes. And on the contrary, on the other side, I'm wondering, what is an unproductive routine? Where do people lose time? Where are people spending energy and mental effort and not seeing results? Or what have you noticed in your life that maybe you thought, hey, someone told me I should do this and I tried it out, but it never worked for me?
People waste a lot of time in their life and they don't even realize it, right? So that could be, some of my friends are Red Sox fans, right? That's 165 games a year. If you're committing 105 games a year, that's 2 hours a game. That's like over 300 hours. You could literally create a side hustle with 300 hours of effort. Or like binging on Netflix, right? Mm-hmm. Or going to the bar. Like, these are things that do not get you close to your goals mm-hmm. and should be eliminated. And more or less, one of my favorite books is The Wealth Mindset by mm-hmm. Neville Goddard. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's a really good book. But in there, he talks about thought is the coin of heaven. And essentially, what he means is thought can create any reality you want. And you have to be very, just of where your thoughts go. Do your thoughts go closer to your goals? Do your good thoughts go towards actions getting you closer to your goals? Or do your thoughts sway you away from your goals? And the goal is to eliminate those thoughts that sway you away and get your thoughts closer towards actions and steps that get you closer to the dream life that you want to live.
And yes, that's exceptionally informative. I want to wrap up this episode now. Would you mind shouting out to your social media platforms, your website? Where can people find you?
Find me at Investor Freed on Instagram, as well as Andrew Freed on Facebook, LinkedIn. Definitely feel free to reach out. And if you're interested in the Worcester market, always feel free to touch base. That's where I play. Yeah, thank you for having me.
No, thank you for taking the time. And if you listeners like this episode and you want more episodes like this, please do share it with a friend or family member. And we hope to see you next time. Me.